You know that most of the big churches in Dallas area has two services and their same pastor speaks. So we are not quite used to that, but I hope it should be okay. We have been studying about this concept of biblical spirituality. The reason is, all of us have some idea about spirituality, but many a times that is clouded and crowded by traditions, many of the things that have been practiced in many homes and in assemblies. And as I made it clear, in relation to taking off your shoe, wearing white shirt, or in relation to jewelry, many of those things may be good and noble practices, and many of us keep it. But the most important thing what we should know is that such things have nothing to do with biblical spirituality. A good observation concerning such things is that if something is related to the Bible, it should be believed in Dallas, in Ireland, in Kerala, in the Middle East, everywhere. Some of the things which we practice in Andhra or in Kerala, many other assemblies around the world do not practice it. Why is that? If it is something from the Bible, it should be everywhere. So many of the things are cultural. It may be good practices, and people coming from those states and places and countries place a value upon it, you know, and that is good. I'm not speaking against that. But what I'm trying to make clear is that we should not confuse that biblical spirituality. Biblical spirituality is always related to the Spirit, the Spirit of God. We have been hearing about the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God produces the fruit of the Spirit, spiritual vision, spiritual joy. And the concept of spirituality in the Bible is very much related to spiritual maturity and spiritual growth. So, that is, you know, what we have been studying last week. Just looking at, you know, some types of spirituality. But today, in the study of spirituality, many theologians deal with the contemporary spirituality and religious spirituality. Religious spirituality, we can say legalistic spirituality under religious spirituality. That means like we add many things to our faith, you know, the do's and the don'ts, and we bring in man-made rules and try to make it spiritually appealing to people. So that is legalistic. We bring in our legalistic stipulations and guidelines and try to impose it upon others and try to give the impression that that is a part of spirituality. Then traditional spirituality, like in the case of the Pharisees, they added so many traditions to the law of Moses. So they required the people not only to follow the law of Moses, but also to follow the traditions of the Pharisees. That is why the Lord was many a times very furious, upset with them, not because of their commitment to the law, but their commitment more than to the law, their commitment to was to the rabbinic and the Pharisee tradition. Creedal spirituality. Now, some churches recite their creeds every week. And for example, the creeds of Nicaea, the creeds of Chalcedon, Apostles' Creed, those are really good creeds which give expression to the fundamentals of the faith. And there is nothing wrong. I'm not talking about that. But many denominations and also Roman Catholics add creeds related to Virgin Mary, prayers to the saints, and you know, things that are taught by some of the great saints or teachers or church fathers, and make it a creed. So, Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, and the Chalcedon Creed, those important creeds which are summaries of conservative evangelical theology, there is nothing wrong in that. Many churches recite it. sometimes I personally recite it, you know, because it gives us a real summary of what we believe. But the creedal spirituality is, many people make their own creeds on the basis of their denominations, prayers to the saints, to the angels, or to Virgin Mary, and they make a creed out of it, and they make it a practice at a part of spirituality. Then experiential spirituality is very popular, especially in charismatic circles, and also like in holiness movement and charismatic circles, that whatever the word of God tells, people will say, I have this experience. So you have to go with that. So if I try to show that your experience is not in accordance with the scripture, they say, Brother Alex, still it is my experience. So they give more emphasis to their subjective personal experience. Now, our spiritual experiences are important, but our spiritual experiences have to be validated by the word of God. If I say, as a servant of God serving the Lord for 45 years, I have some wonderful experience and I share that with you, and if that doesn't square with the word of God, then I become a false teacher. You know, so whatever experiences the Lord gives to us should be in accordance with the word of God. So things that are outside the experiences of dreams and visions, you know, and some people, you know, like speaking in tongues, all those things, if it doesn't match with what is clearly revealed in the word of God, then that becomes just a personally made experiential spirituality. Then the next one is sensual spirituality, that spirituality produced by sensual experience, and also like in the pagan temples in Corinth and in Ephesus, and like in some places in India also, like even sexual experience. That is how the temple prostitution and the, in Ephesus, the cult of the goddess of beauty, Diana, that sensual experiences are interpreted as a part of spirituality in which we merge with the divine. And in some of the New Age spirituality also, we can see that emphasis, you know. So, that is, again, that is man-made spirituality. Like in some states in India where I have visited, there are some very big temples and monuments. Some of the images there, it's very, like in Orissa, in Konark, and where we have gone, it's very difficult to visit there with your children, because all the statues, the icons, and the paintings and the carvings are explicit about sensual things. Why it is seen in temples and in places of worship? Because that has something to do with their spirituality. That is why, you know. So that is what is called sensual spirituality. Corinth was very famous for it, and Ephesus was very famous for it, and many, many other pagan temples around the world. Now, coming to contemporary spirituality, so this religious spirituality has been there always. Contemporary spirituality has evolved over a period of time. For example, New Age spirituality, diet and exercise is always good, but it is all related to a kind of spiritual experience, you know. Meditation, diet, exercise, yoga, these are things that would empower you to be peaceful and your mind to be peaceful, and to the philosophy behind it is that you merge with the universal soul. So God is not a person, it is a force or a soul, if there is a God. It is just a soul. The elan vital, the force in the universe. So your elan vital, your life energy merges with that, and you get a satisfaction out of that. So New Age spirituality is very much popular today. Mystical spirituality is another form that is, it is a state of oneness with the divine. You do many things, go through various disciplines and good exercises and meditation so that you can become one with the universe, with the divine. Then contemplative spirituality, even in mystical spirituality is, you know, the mystical spirituality, contemplative spirituality are related because the transcendental meditation and all those practices draw us closer to God. Now, contemplative spirituality has resurfaced in evangelical Christianity now. In some of the good Bible-oriented evangelical student movements among campuses, it's very unfortunate that they have fallen into the trap of contemplative spirituality. For example, silent prayer, it is good. When I was a student in college study groups in EU and all, we used to have it. 2x2 fellowship, silent prayer. Those things are good, but people have taken it to the extreme that when 2x2 fellowship, two people, two believers, they walk and they talk about the Lord and encourage one another. So, but today in contemplative spirituality, that 2x2 is called a pilgrim walk. They are bringing new ideas into it, you know. They are bringing like a pagan ideas into it. Pilgrim walk, and you are talking to Jesus. And Jesus is specially communicating something to you during your walk at that time. You know, so it is many good things are misused or abused. Talking to Jesus, walking together, talking about the Lord, spiritual things, prayer, all those things are good. But if you take it to the extreme and twist it to pagan models, then that is not biblical spirituality, that falls under contemplative spirituality. But another thing is even chanting. The practice of chanting is done by Christians today, like in the pagan temples and in pagan religions, you know, and that chanting brings you closer to God. Chanting of a Bible verse, chanting of God's name, chanting of a favorite hymn, closing your eyes. Now, when you look at it, that in itself may not be something too bad, but these things can take things to a level of unscriptural spirituality. It becomes a kind of a man-made spirituality. Iconic spirituality, even recently, you know, when I talked to some Christians, they were asking me this question. What is wrong if I look at an idol of Jesus? Or if I look at a dove, the Holy Spirit, that helps me to think more about God, about the Holy Spirit. Some icons, some paintings, or some idols. That is iconic spirituality. This temptation gets into people that, what is wrong? I'm not worshipping it, but that symbolizes something, and through that symbol, I can visualize God more. But that is again against the commandment of God that you shall not make yourself any graven carved image. We believe and we approach God through His direct divine revelation, through Jesus Christ, the incarnate word and the inscripturated word, the written word. And our understanding and our idea of God and our approach to God should be on the basis of God's revelation, not man's invention. So that is iconic spirituality. Now, another rational spirituality, that is our spirituality, whatever it is, whether it is biblical spirituality, iconic spirituality, or mystical spirituality, mixing it with the scientific understanding, trying to analyze it scientifically, then you come up with various theories, you know, that is trying to reconcile spiritual things with scientific things. Again, ultimately you come up with human theories about spirituality, nothing related to God's revelation. So, personal development of, you know, through rational spirituality, they believe a person can develop spiritually and intellectually. Rational spirituality. So it is again, see, if you look at all these things, man is very curious and he wants to help himself apart from God. As in the Garden of Eden, as the serpent said, has God really said that? You know, does the commandment that thou shalt not make any image, does it really mean that? You cannot go and sit before an image or an idol and visualize that. That is the Lord Jesus Christ and pray. So it is all the cleverness of man that is bringing out these things. And there is always hidden dangers. So what is, we are, you may be wondering, then tell us, what is biblical spirituality? We are getting there, you know. So biblical spirituality, in the Old Testament, there is a beautiful verse, Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now that verse has multiple applications in the context and to our life and ministry, day-to-day life. So this is the foundational principle of biblical spirituality also. It is not by our power or our might, but it is not by our cleverness, but it is by the Spirit of God that biblical spirituality is produced. Now, biblical spirituality can be called, I'm borrowing this term from charismatics, but I like this term, and it is biblical too. That is, Christian life is pneumatic, pneuma, Holy Spirit, Spirit or Holy Spirit. Pneumatic is related to the Spirit of God. So Christian life is always energized, empowered by the Spirit of God. He gives us understanding. He gives us guidance. He leads us into all truth. Even though many of the charismatics have used it, they call their brand of Christianity as pneumatic Christianity. But that need not be restricted to their brand of Christianity. It is very applicable to biblical Christianity, because biblical Christianity, biblical spirituality is produced, it is generated by the activity of the Spirit of God. So Holy Spirit generated, empowered, controlled and dominated Christian life. When we say the fullness of the Spirit, filling of the Spirit, that means the control of the Holy Spirit. It is by the control of the Holy Spirit that we are able to walk the Christian life. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, I think in NIV, walk in step with the Spirit. So in the book of Galatians, we read like live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit is sum total of our life. Walking in the life is, in the Spirit is step by step, walking in step, every day, every moment. So we hear from Him, we obey Him, we are guided by Him, we are led by Him, and that helps us to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And in our ministry, in our service, we are energized by the spiritual gifts which He imparts and gives to us. Now, little more deeper things by way of exposition. The origin of the word spiritual in the Bible shall be turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. First Corinthians chapter 12 is dealing with spiritual gifts. But look at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts. And if you look in your Bible, the word gifts in the English translation is in italics. That means that is not in the original. But why did the translator supply that? Otherwise, we have to read it like this from the Greek text. Now concerning spirituals. So that is confusing to us. The whole context is talking about spiritual gifts. So, appropriately, correctly, the translator supplied the word gifts. But the word there is concerning spiritual or spirituals. It can mean spiritual things. It can mean spiritualities. It can mean things that are related to the spirit, in the realm of the spirit, under the control of the spirit. That is the meaning. So literally, now concerning spirituals, it is in the neuter gender. Spiritual things, spiritual matter. So what is the spiritual matter he is discussing in chapter 12? The matter of spiritual gifts. So the spiritual gifts are generated by the Spirit, given to us by the Spirit, used in us by the Holy Spirit. That is why it is spiritual. That means I don't contribute anything. My flesh, my ability, my education does not contribute anything to the spiritual gift. It is divinely imparted to me by the sovereign will of God. What gift I should get, what gift George P. John, Babu Kunjuman gets, we don't have any control. It is the Holy Spirit. The chapter teaches it and we have studied it some time back. Holy Spirit sovereignly bestowed to brothers and sisters, to everyone in the body of Christ, whether it is serving gift, whether it is leadership gift, whether it is speaking gift, whether it is the gift of evangelism, whatever it is the Holy Spirit gift. So, now concerning spirituals means spiritual matters, spiritual things. Now, come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men or people. I'm reading from New King James. Their people is again in italics. Why? It is the same word, pneumaticos. It is the context that decides whether it is matter, thing, or people. So in 1 Corinthians, I hope you are following. In 1 Corinthians 12, spirituals in the context means spiritual things, spiritual gifts. But here in the context, it does not mean spiritual gifts. It means spiritual person, spiritual people. Same word. So the same word pneumaticos can be translated as spirituals in the context, either spiritual things or spiritual people. It can be in the neuter gender. If it is in the neuter gender, spiritual things, spiritual matters. It can also be in the masculine gender, then spiritual people. So 1 Corinthians 3, when you read, you know that Paul is talking about spiritual people, natural people, and carnal people. So in the context, it is very clear that he is talking about spiritual people. So in spiritual life, now how do you know? How do we know that you are a spiritual person? I am a spiritual person. There are two dimensions to it. One is positional, because the Holy Spirit indwells in me. So, my heart, my life, the Spirit is there. His permanent presence is there. In that sense, positionally, I belong to the Spirit, spiritual. Practically, there is another dimension, that is, in my day-to-day life, in your day-to-day life, in our day-to-day life, whether we are grieving the Spirit of God, are we showing spiritual maturity, spiritual discernment, or are we living like carnal people, people of the flesh? In 1 Corinthians 3, we will look at it in little more detail later. Paul contrasts between carnal and spiritual. Carnal people, the Corinthians, they are believers, but they are carnal. And why they are carnal, shall we turn there one more time, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul shows them, see, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but to carnal. That means you are not under the influence and control of the Spirit of God in your life, even though you are believers. Look at that. As to babes in Christ. So you get a clue about biblical spirituality. See, people come up with so many strange ideas about spirituality. See, this is the foundation. I cannot speak to you as spiritual people. I can only speak to you as carnal people, spiritual babes. So what is spirituality? Spiritual immaturity. Lack of spiritual growth. Lack of spiritual fruitfulness. Lack of spiritual progress. So Paul tells, I fed you with milk, verse 2, and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. You are dominated by your fleshly appetite, not under the control of the Spirit. For where there are envy, oh, the Corinthians' party politics in the church, envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men, the people of the world? But look at chapter 1. Look at chapter 1. The same group, all addressed in chapter 3. How does he address in chapter 1? Verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. They are believers, positionally, they are saved. But what about their practical life? They are not spiritual, not pneumaticos, not dominated, not controlled by the Spirit. They don't take their guidance from the Spirit of God. They consult with others. They go by what they feel, what is best for them. No influence of the Spirit, no influence of the Word of God. Why do they do that? Because they are babes in Christ. They have not grown. So this is the first clue, the biblical clue of spirituality. What is biblical spirituality? Biblical spirituality is biblical spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, spiritual progress we make in life. If not, we remain as spiritual babes. When we remain as spiritual babes, we are controlled by our desires, our flesh, and the Spirit of God, though indwells in us, we are not submissive to his control and to his authority. So, we may say whatever we want to say. We may go to any place where we want to go. We may do anything we like. Rest of the world, and when we look at us and the rest of the world, there is no difference. Paul said, are you behaving not like mere men? You have groupism, the following verses. Some people in Corinth say, I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Peter. When somebody said we are super spiritual, so we belong to Christ. You know? So Paul said, are you not carnal? Why did Paul call them carnal? Because they are babes. I cannot feed you milk. I cannot feed you any meat. Only milk. You are still in John 3:16. That's the only verse you know. You think that's all you need to know. You don't progress. So, dear brothers and sisters, that is the first biblical clue to the meaning of biblical spirituality. Biblical spirituality is a growing, progressing relationship under the dominance and control of the Spirit of God. We become day by day spiritually mature, making use of all the resources and blessings the opportunities he gives, the education, the fellowship, the worship, the all the wonderful blessings the Lord gives to us every day. We make use of it and go to maturity. But if you discard all those things, we are believers, but like the Corinthians. That is, we are babes in Christ. As a result, strife and envy and party spirit and politics and divisions, all those things. Are you not carnal? You are babes in Christ. So, let us go on to maturity. That is the same message. We will look at it next week. The same message, writer to the Hebrews, chapter 5. Leaving the elementary principles of the word, let us go on to perfection. See? So to him, spiritual maturity is going on to, spirituality is going on to perfection, more spiritual maturity. So we should get our ideas of spirituality from the word of God. Lord, make me a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, with spiritual progress, spiritual fruitfulness, spiritual productivity, spiritual discernment, spiritual outlook. You know, how do I get that? In obedience to the word, in submission to the Holy Spirit. That is the clue to biblical spirituality. In earlier days, we used to sing that song, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wondrous compassion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, make all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." Let that be our prayer. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we are saved by the blood of Christ and we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Positionally, we are in Christ and we will always be in Christ upon this earth, and also one day when we leave this earthly home, we are in Christ and we will be with thee. But in our practice, in our day-to-day life, many a times we fail and fall and we act like unspiritual people. Thy word tells us the reason is that we are not making spiritual progress. No spiritual productivity and fruitfulness, it doesn't automatically come. There is work behind it. There is commitment. There is devotion. Your word, fellowship with your people, prayer, spiritual disciplines. Father, make us aware of these things. We have known it and heard it a number of times. Pray that as ELBC families, that we may be more spiritually minded people, spiritual people, spiritually mature people. Help us as we grow in that direction. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for the clarity of your word. Pray that in this cold weather, thy protection and blessing be upon each one of us and our families, and help us to enjoy your presence, your nearness, and to have fresh visions of your glory daily in our hearts and minds. Send us now with your blessing as we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.